So we're coming here to the end of our study of What's in a Name, and we come tonight to this next to last session, I think it's going to be. We'll spend just a few minutes here together, and I hope it's been helpful for you to learn some things and to apply that. One of the most popular events at our Down on the Farm event that we have every year seems to be the live animals that come. You see the kids, they like to pet the animals, they like to go visit them. The horse, I think, is the most popular. We didn't get to have that this year because they sit up there, they get their photo taken. Parents love it, the kids love it. A close second, I believe, from my observation, at least yesterday, is the sheep herding. And so you stand there and you watch. Is Colin in here right now? He usually sits right around here somewhere, but maybe they're working. But he brings sheep and goats, and they're out here on the back, the western side of the building. And it's pretty amazing to watch how he can corral them and tend that flock. And then it's by observation, you know, folks are standing there, they're amazed at this. He has a dog to help him, but he calls, he whistles, and they hear him, they turn, they come back, and they're near him to the safe place. Now, I know that little activity out here is just a very small part of what goes into tending sheep, but he does it good. He does a very good job of that. They hear him. Tonight, we're going to arrive at the name of God that is really the most personal name that we're going to study. We've talked about a lot of things of God's character, his attributes, and who and what he is. Tonight, we're talking about something personal. We're going to be talking about Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, my shepherd. And the primary meaning of this word, Rohi, comes from the definition of to feed and to lead to pasture. Just like a shepherd would do for his flock, just what Colin does for his sheep when he's at home. He takes them to pasture. He feeds them. Really, but an extended definition, if we dig into that a little bit, we could see that it means a friend or a companion. And it's descriptive of what a deeper relationship that comes along in this shepherding relationship. The word's used a lot in the scripture. It's a verb. It's a noun. It's a name. It's talking about doing something, tending sheep, shepherding. In Genesis chapter 37 and 47, the story of Joseph starts with that. He was tending his father's flock, and his brothers come to Pharaoh later answering questions, and they say, yeah, we're just shepherds. We're like our fathers before us. We tend sheep. It's also descriptive of leading, and it's figuratively used in Scripture, and it's really appropriate for us to talk about this tonight after praying for our pastor that will be here. But it's figuratively in Scripture about a leader and his followers, a prince and his people, a king and those under his dominion. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and Isaiah 48 both talk about that. David as a king was described as a shepherd for the people. He led them. And even King Cyrus of Persia in Isaiah 48, this same word was used for him. He was leading people. And God was using him to accomplish a purpose in Israel's life, in the life of Israel. But he was doing the same thing. He was leading. So a full definition that we can arrive at here, the Lord is my shepherd. It really identifies for us the nurturing and caring relationship aspect of our Lord to his people. The people he is leading and the people he loves. And that's where we land tonight. There is a key passage, and I bet you know what it is. So turn there. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23. It's actually not the only place or the first place where this word is used. There's two other passages. We're not going to look at that tonight. That's a good assignment for you to go home and find those and do a little study for yourself. But this would be Psalm 23, and there's likely no passage in Scripture that is so well loved and so well known by people all around the world. It's posted in unlikely places. If you travel some, you might see the Lord is my shepherd posted in different places. It's familiar to people that really have no religious heritage or background. They've at least heard this somewhere along the way. It's often quoted in movies during a funeral scene. The priest or the pastor is reading Psalm 23. So it's out there. It's well known. In fact, many funerals in our culture today have this posted on an inside of a little brochure that might be printed up by the funeral home. And it's used to comfort people in a time of hurt, even for non-believing families. So what is it about this song of David that is so appealing and desirable for those that are in despair or in difficulty? I think simply it just carries with it a picture that's painted. It's words that show us how intimate and calm and caring and compassionate the nature of our Good Shepherd really is. It just comes alive. It comes off the page for us. And it's not just a funeral psalm. It's a psalm for the living. It's a psalm of encouragement for us, the believers in the Good Shepherd. So we'll look at that briefly this evening. And very briefly. So I'm going to go through this quickly here. Song written by David, most likely when he's looking back on his life. He's at the end of his career, possibly, and he's looking back and he considers this relationship with God. Now think about David's relationship or his life. It had a flavor. It had a wide-ranging experiences. There were trials, there were danger, there was testing, there was sin, there was trouble, sorrow, bitter, heartache, and there was death. There was abundance. There was restoration. There was joy. There was faith. Think about the record of his life in your mind, and you know that it was wide extremes for King David, the Shepherd King. And through it all, he found God's peace, and he found God's guiding hand in his life. So recalling that, he writes an analogy of Jehovah Rohi, the shepherd. He looks at that and he says, this is how this applies to me. So I want us to read this. It's a beautiful picture. And actually, I want us to read it out loud together. I know there might be various English translations out there, but it's okay. We're going to read it out loud together and we're going to enjoy it for a few moments here. Okay, so follow along. You read out loud with me. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Well, I'm going to look at six things quickly here and just call out for us. Six things that the shepherd, what are descriptions of what the shepherd is to his sheep. Okay? What is the relationship of the shepherd to his sheep? We're going to look at six ways here. Verse 1, the shepherd knows his sheep. The shepherd knows them. The Lord is my shepherd. And as the great shepherd of the sheep, he's a shepherd of all believers. But he's not just the shepherd of the masses. You know, in heaven, we're going to be together with everyone that believes. All races, all colors, all creeds, all tribes. We're going to all rejoice. But right now, in this place, he is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. This is very personal. He knows me. He knows you. It's very personal. He's not simply shepherd to the masses, but David knew he belonged to our Lord. It was revealed in his personal possessive nouns all throughout this scripture. And it's personal, it's intimate, it's real. And because it's a personal relationship, the shepherd knows his sheep. It can't be personal and the shepherd not know about them. He knows them. He knows his sheep. We see David's acknowledgement of this all throughout the Psalms. And the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, he knows us. He's just that for us. John 10:14, I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I am known by them. In John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. This is a personal relationship. And the shepherd knows his sheep. This is good news. This is comforting news. This is compassionate news, and this is news we need to share. Anyone can have that relationship. And the shepherd cares for me, and he loves me, and he's interested in me. And it starts off that way. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd knows his sheep. And in doing so, in such a personal way, the shepherd then provides for his sheep. Because he knows them so well, he knows exactly what they need. I shall not want. Green pastures, and there's still waters, but he takes me there. As our good and gentle shepherd, we can trust that he will provide what we need and when we need it. We can trust him for that. It's evidenced by verse 2. Nothing will be lacking, he says. He leads us to green pastures and still waters. These are safe places. These are places of nourishment. These are places of food and rest. And Jehovah Rohi is committed to us to make sure that his sheep has all that we need for nourishment and for growth and strength. And it's a key point here to recognize that we may not know what's best for us. We may not know what we need. And we may think we need something that we're lacking. But the promise here is sure. I know you, and I'm going to give you what you need. You're not going to lack anything. The sheep frustration comes in when I want what I want, when I want it, right? And I can't get it. I want something different. And then those wants become, I really got to have it. I need it. But the good shepherd says, no, I know what you need because I know you, and you're not going to lack anything. So trust me. Trust me. We can be sure to never lack what the shepherd knows is good for us. Our responsibility? Faithfully follow. Faithfully follow the good shepherd. He's committed to providing for us. So he knows us, and he provides for us. And then the shepherd restores his sheep in verse 3. He restores my soul. Shepherding involves that, bringing the wandering sheep back to the fold. And in the text, it literally means to impart new life. So we think about that in our context, the good shepherd. When we grow weary and we're faint-hearted with the troubles of life, he restores and he refreshes. He brings us back. He gives us new life to carry on because he cares. He cares for us. And he knows us so well. And so throughout the process of being led to the green pasture and to the calm waters, throughout that process, the good shepherd renews our spirit day by day. He carries us there. The comfort and rest at the end is not necessarily the goal. It's the process through which the good shepherd takes us that changes us and helps us to know how to trust him even more and to follow him closely. So the goal is a greater knowledge of the shepherd by following close to him and trusting him and learning him and knowing him. So he knows us. He provides for us. He restores his sheep. And a step further in our trust, we realize that it's the good shepherd who guides us. He's the one who's guiding us there. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, literally in the right path, in the right way. The shepherd gives his sheep proper guidance and the right path so we don't wander aimlessly. He's there. He does so in part for the sake of his own reputation, for his name's sake, as one who has promised to direct his people. But it's important that when we follow the shepherd, we will be guaranteed to be on the right path. You ever want to know which way to go? Follow the shepherd. Quickly, and when I was in high school, I was deer hunting one day with a friend of mine. And I decided that there was nothing happening, so I was going to make my way back to the truck. And I hadn't been in those woods, that section of woods much. So I got off the marked course. I thought, oh, you know what? I think I can cut right through here. I saw the little sticker on the tree that took me right back, but I thought I could cut through there and save some time. And before I know it, I was lost. I think I probably was walking in circles. I didn't even realize it. But I was afraid. I panicked. It was getting dark. I thought, man, I'm going to be stranded out here in the cold until tomorrow. Nobody's ever going to find me. I'm going to fall off a cliff and break my leg. There was no cliffs. But anyway, we wandered around probably in circles. Soon, my friend who I was with said I wasn't there at the time I was supposed to be. Came looking for me. Somehow he found me, probably because I was yelling and calling his name. And he led me out. Now, when he showed up, I could have said, hey, I had two choices. I could have said, hey, I think if we go this way, it's going to be a little bit quicker. I didn't. I looked at him. I said, take me out. I had to trust him and I had to follow him. I had to stay close in the dark to get back to where we were going. Same with our good shepherd. I can give him all the advice I want, but he knows the best way. He knows the path I need to walk to get to those green pastures. And I can never be wrong to follow him. Now, think about this. Got to understand, all of us, that the right way to those green pastures and the still waters may not be the way we think. It might include a few things. It might include some steep hills. It might include some hard trekking. It might include some dark valleys and rough terrain. It might include some dangers, some adversity from others. It might take the longer route to get to a point that's really close, but we have to go the long way around. But you know what? Our comfort comes in. The Good Shepherd knows the exact route we need to take. And for that, we say, thank you, Lord. He knows. He provides. He restores. He guides. Number five, He protects and comforts His sheep. Verse 4, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sheep, they're very susceptible to predators. No defense mechanism. In fact, Satan is described as a lion who's walking around looking for someone to devour. And he stalks and he crouches down low so you can't see him. And then he springs on you when you're unsuspecting. But in those shadows and on the path, who's with us? The shepherd. The good shepherd. He's walking in the shadows with us. And brothers and sisters, we can say thank you, Lord. Because He is our defense mechanism. He is protecting us. He's looking for us. And our daily walk is filled with these trials and troubles and risks, but He's there beside us. He's with us. He's leading us. He's sticking close to us. And we follow Him. And sheep without a shepherd can quickly be frightened, devoured, taken off path, and misdirected. But we have to stay close. So He's there to protect. He comforts us. His rod guides us. His rod is used to defend in the case of an attack, to guide the sheep and to keep them on the right path. It symbolizes authority over the sheep. He is our Lord and Master. The staff comforts. The staff brings us back. It has that bend on the end. You've seen the picture of a shepherd's staff. It can grab the sheep, pull them back to safety, bring them back in. All of these things in a gentle and loving way. And so we thank the Lord that He is our protector and our comforter. And then finally, the shepherd hosts and secures his sheep in verse 5 and 6. Pastor Ben talked about the fellowship table a few weeks ago. And this is really what it's talking about here. The table. God's preparing a place at the table for us. Think about the marriage supper of the Lamb and the great day when that happens, the wedding feast in Revelation 19. We're all going to be invited to the supper if we're believers. We're going to be there. And Jesus said to His disciples, He's going to prepare a place. He's going to come again and take us away that we can be there with Him. And blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God in Luke 14. We've been invited. So we've come off the field. And we've been invited as a guest to the table. It's an amazing thing. And we talked about anointing our heads with oil. That's not just a guest anymore. We're an honored guest. Isn't that amazing to think about that the Good Shepherd invites us in and makes us an honored guest at His table? It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and it's a picturing the kings that we and priests that we will be one day in Revelation chapter 5. And finally, that cup runs over, and a lot of times we associate that with, man, I'm really blessed. God's really given me a lot of good things to enjoy in this life. But the symbolism is lost in that. The symbolism here really is that we are at the table with our Lord, with our shepherd. And as long as our cup is filling over, He wants to have fellowship with us. And when in the Eastern hospitality, when the cups dried up or the party was over, but not so with the Lord. It keeps overflowing and He keeps us there at the table. This is indicative of eternal life in Christ where we will abide with Him forever. And He wants that relationship with us now. So we say, thank you, Good Shepherd. So closing here, what shepherds do people look at today, look for? I think a lot of times we get caught up looking for money, power, success, themselves, politicians, anything. But it's the Good Shepherd. He's our leader. He's our guide. All those other things are going to fail us and disappoint us because they're going to be proven to be cold-hearted and self-fulfilling. But Jehovah Rohi, the good shepherd, He will never disappoint. He will never fail. He will never falter. He will never lead us astray. He will never leave us wanting something more. He's never going to leave us alone. He is our shepherd. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What a comfort. Let me close with the lyrics of this hymn here, very popular. And then I'll pray. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, and sometimes in the valley in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Though sorrows befall us and evil oppose, through grace we can conquer and defeat all our foes. Away from the mire, away from the clay, away up in glory, eternity's day. But some through the waters, and some through the flood. Some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's commit. Stay close to the Good Shepherd and follow and trust and commit our souls to the one who's died for us and loves us so much. Let's just pray together as we leave here. Father, we give you praise tonight for your caring hand. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture that's so familiar, yet so rich and so sweet. And so we thank you tonight that we had a few moments to look at this. I pray that as we leave here this evening and we go through the trials of the life, beginning probably just a few minutes as we walk out the door, but especially this week as we endure things that come our way, pray that we will stay close to you. Help us, Lord, to be committed to the one who knows us and restores us and protects us and cares for us and comforts and guides and leads and secures us to the end. It's in your name, righteous Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd of the sheep, we pray these things. Amen.